How did you get to Aspen?
I arrived in Aspen in 1961 in my red Impala convertible. I was a freshman at Boulder. I went to Boulder sight unseen to train with Bob Biotti. I was a ski racer in California, Lake Tahoe specifically. I went to train with Biotti and race for the University of Colorado. And Spider Savage and Steve Savage, who were like my brothers, they came, and Jimmy Huga from Squaw Valley came, and they were all coming to actually formulate the US ski, the Olympic team with Beats. So I came to Aspen in the fall of 61, and it's just like one of those things. I think this is where I want to spend the rest of my life, my first trip. And we had a jug of wine and a loaf of bread and some salami, and I had some of my girlfriends, and we used to just sort of couch surf and ski and party. So that was my introduction to Aspen. So I came to Aspen a lot, as much as I could with my studying, if it didn't get in the way of my studies. I came to Aspen as much as I could for 4 years. And so I ski bummed here in 1965 at an apartment above the Woodlander, which is right in the middle of the Hyman Mall, which is a dirt street over a nightclub, in a studio for $75 a month, and partied a night and skied during the day. And that was 65. So I went back to California. My parents were, kind of time for you to come back and go to work. But I moved to the Bay Area and literally moved to Sausalito and became a hippie for a year and a half. And I did have a job. And then I moved to back to South Shore, Tahoe. And within a year, Missy was born. So Missy was born in South Shore, Tahoe. And I married Peter Brinkman. And in 1971, I convinced him to move to Aspen. He got a job as a winter sports director at the Highlands. And so Missy and Peter and I moved back here, and he built a house on the golf course. So our marriage was very short-lived.
What year
And
was it?
that was 71, 72. And in 73, by 73, our marriage had dissolved. So in the fall of 73, there were hundred of people out on the golf course. And I called my neighbor to ask her what was going on, and she said they're casting a Pepsi Cola commercial. So I had Missy in her little braids and her little puppy and her little lederhosen, and we strolled across the golf course, and the director said, "Can she ski?" And I said, "Actually, pretty well for three and a half, four." So they cast her in a Pepsi commercial, which really changed the trajectory of my life. I was up on the mountain, and also Melissa Stone was in that,
Okay.
Todd's sister,
Yep.
and they were being taught skiing by a ski instructor. I think it was actually maybe, I don't know, maybe one of the McBrides. Anyway, I got to be friends with the vice president of Pepsi Cola, and he said to me, "Next summer I'm coming back, and I'm going to film all the Pepsi and Mountain Dew commercials, and we're going to hire you to help the location scout and the casting director, because they cast real people, not actors." And I was a decent photographer, so they were going to send me out location scouting. This is actually really what I want to do in life. So I started a film production company that year just to prepare for them when they came back. And I had that for 27 years. I guess the Dew Crew, I don't know if you guys,
Yeah.
probably Katie Green, Noelle Williams, a couple of the Gibbons girls, they were all in the Dew Crew. That went on for years. They took them all over the country to film that. I got divorced, and I needed a place for Missy and I to live. So I had $28,000 and I came out, a friend of mine, cinematographer, going out with my friend, dear friend, who now, who I didn't know at the time, Laura Donnelly. And he said, you need to come out to this Halloween party on McLean Flats. My girlfriend is having a party. So I came out. It was Halloween. I was dressed in a costume. We'd all taken mescaline. And I crawled up into her meditation tower and I looked across the hill and I saw this beautiful, the sun was setting on this fabulous lot. It was 3 miles from town, but there was no one out here except Ken and Betty Moore and a couple of cottages, a couple of cabins. So I thought, that's where I want to live. So I came out, I mean, believe it or not, so I came out the next day and the lot was for sale for $20,000.
Sounds like it was meant to be.
Yeah, well, you know, the Jungians have a term for things that happen like that called daemons. And they're essentially guides. So you have a daemon that's like showing you something. And all you have to do is be aware of your daemons because they lead you to where you probably should be going if you pay attention to them. So same thing with the production company. I'm like, this guy's going to hire me. I'm going to start a production company. So I was really fortunate at that period. And so I had enough money to build sort of a wannabe cabin, which I'm still living in. It's a little, embellished it quite a bit, but Missy and I lived in this little house I built right off of McLean Flats on Trentez Drive. So one of the most fortunate things that Kenny and Betty Moore were my neighbors. And I'm 28 years old. And here are Kenny and Betty, and they have this very established, wonderful family. And Betty and Kenny took me under their wing. So I sent Missy, I got a scholarship for Missy. She went to the Country Day School and a scholarship for kindergarten. And then Betty said to me, we're sending Missy and Valerie to the community school, this new school, and I'm buying the school bus. So the school bus is going to come to the bottom of the road and pick them up. So that's how we ended up, Missy and I, at the community school. And then, you know, that was truly became our family. As a single mother, and you know the flavor at the community school.
Yeah.
So that was 76, probably?
Yeah, 76, because right? I got there in 77.
So you guys are the class of 85, right?
I graduated with Missy, and I remember her in seventh grade, which is, I think, around the time I left the community school and went to the public school.
I was 86, a year later, but Jim, I think my brother Jim was in 85.
Yeah, Jim was in our class. Yeah.
Yeah, so essentially, I mean, I was pretty much the poster child mom for the unsupervised parent. I was finishing my house. I had my film production company. I was working at Andre's a few nights a week, and I was teaching skiing. And Missy pretty much, as she says and still does, is she raised me.